News you can use from the Coachella Valley Economic Partnership Economic Summit. I'm Managing Editor Ken Allen with an exclusive look at this year's summit with actual excerpts right from the podium. The Coachella Valley Economic Partnership is the primary economic development agency serving the greater Palm Springs desert cities in Southern California. From this point on, I'll be referring to them simply as CVEP. We have a lot of ground to cover, so let's get right to it. CVEP's Vice President of Innovation, Laura James, served as MC and kicked off the summit with an explanation of the theme.
Choosing to change. So that's the theme that you see on all the printed materials in front of you. Know that we didn't pick this theme blindly or from within a vacuum. It was chosen because as we envision the future of our region, we recognize that that future vision isn't possible without making the right choices today.
Choosing to change. It's a bold challenge. CVEP CEO Joe Wallace asked business leaders to look to the future beyond a two-year horizon.
50-year plan has a chance of making positive change, but if you just have a one-year plan, that's the same as no plan. If you have a two-year plan, that's the same as no plan when it comes to big positive impacts. But we're going to get to some what-ifs, what our needs are, and to talk about the future because we're at a critical place right now. We can blame every problem we have on COVID and then fix it.
The what-ifs began with this question.
What if we just eliminated all of our borders? Anybody want to be just one big, loving, hugging city? Anybody for that? No show of hands, but think it through. We would be the 41st largest city in the United States of America. We would be the 7th largest city in California. We would be overwhelmingly the largest city in Riverside County. It wouldn't even be close. And, you know, another is, what if we became our own county? We could be a metropolitan statistical area, which would allow us to get a whole lot better data from the federal government because they serve MSAs. They don't serve cities, they don't serve counties, but you have to be in one county to be one. So the only way we're going to be there is to form our own county.
One Coachella Valley, a contiguous city and county like the city and county of San Francisco. Interesting idea. There is some precedent for this in the Valley. Some years back, a number of business chambers combined resources to form the Greater Coachella Valley Chamber of Commerce, and there were concerns that individual cities would lose their identity or voice, but subcommittees were established to represent each area and plan their fair share of events. I'll leave it up to you to consider the merits of a united Coachella Valley. But to get you started, I'll offer 5 pros and cons for balance, and then you can add your own from there. As Joe said, a large city would give the Valley its own Metropolitan Statistical Area, or MSA, in the collection of census data. And right now, the Valley is lumped in with the greater Inland Empire in Riverside and San Bernardino counties. Now, their economies bear little resemblance to the Valley's. Here, we have an isolated radio and TV market that gives us our own network affiliates without interference from Los Angeles. The major industries are entirely different. Inland Empire residents mostly commute to jobs in Los Angeles and Orange County. Being a unique MSA would give us greater access to government grants and legislative and media awareness. Number 2, like any merger, there would be some cost savings and economies of scale, which could lead to lower sales taxes. Our taxes are among the highest in the state. And it's worth noting that there's never any justification for an increase in sales tax rates because the inflated price of taxable goods takes care of tax increases. Consider an item that cost $100 in 1973, 50 years ago. A 5% sales tax would yield $5. Now in 2023, that same $100 item now costs $693. So a 5% tax would yield $34.65 with no increase in the tax rate. Number 3, there's a lot of money wasted on intercity economic competition. Consider the many big box retailers that have been given sales tax rebates and other costly incentives just so they'll move across the border from one city to another. This is because the sales taxes remain in the city where they're collected, and this puts cities with a weaker retail base at a disadvantage. Number four, it would be more difficult for a small group of special interests to derail valley-wide projects that would benefit the greater good. Number five, we would achieve the financial critical mass to market the valley to investors outside of the valley. Now, let's consider some of the contrary issues. Number one, there would be fewer jobs for locals aspiring to enter politics. Number two, with a more concentrated government comes greater risks of control by special interests with deep pockets. Number three, greater bureaucracy for businesses and the public. Number four, possibly some loss of property values in certain areas. And number five, city contracts with bigger budgets and greater prestige would attract more poaching from out-of-market firms, thus taking good jobs and cash out of our economy. Poaching has been a significant problem in the Valley for many years, particularly in the areas of architecture and advertising. As a consequence, when a student graduates from Cal State San Bernardino with a degree in marketing, he'll have to move to Los Angeles to work on ads for businesses here in the Coachella Valley. There's a phrase they use in the financial planning industry that goes, "People don't plan to fail, they fail to plan." And I think Joe's overarching message for the Coachella Valley to achieve its best economic potential must be an agreement on a vision of the future. In previous years, the economic updates have been presented by out-of-town economists who have largely been pessimistic about the Coachella Valley evolving beyond a seasonal tourist resort and retirement community. This year, Joe Wallace gave a cautionary but generally more optimistic report.
Here's some of our pre- and post-pandemic metrics, things that we look at to see what's going on in the Valley. First line, population. Our population, and my source is Esri Business Analyst, is down 10,563 people, 2.3% less people calling this home. Doesn't mean there aren't more people here at certain times of the year. These are permanent residents that file their tax forms from the Coachella Valley. Paycheck employees, down 10,433 people. That tells me that almost everyone who left was a working person. Some of those people have gone to their relatives' homes in Arizona, Texas, got the same kind of pay for half the rent. They're not coming back. They're going to have to be backfilled with either robots or people that live here that never want to leave. Median family income, Coachella Valley, yeah, we've gotten a good raise. We're up 17.7%. So valley-wide, we've just about kept up with inflation, but it won't buy as much. Here's the stat that I really like the most. Bachelor's degree or above. 2019, there were 26.1% of us who had a bachelor's degree. Today, it's 28.9%. For an increase of 6,833 degreed individuals. That makes our demographic look a whole lot better to business because we have a more educated workforce today than we had 4 years ago, and that's great.
Joe mentions two things worth noting here. He says almost a third of our workforce has a college degree. That means we already have in place a workforce that will be attractive to employers with better-paying, year-round jobs. At the beginning of that clip, he says his source for the data is Esri, or ESRI. It's the biggest software company you've never heard of, and it's just 45 minutes away in Redlands. They employ over 3,000 workers in electronic mapping, known in the trade as Graphical Information Systems, or GIS. So students graduating from our local universities don't have to move to Northern California to find work in the high-tech industries. And if we could ever get Metrolink to extend commuter rail service out here, Esri has its own train station in Redlands. Now let's look at residential housing.
Residential housing the top of everyone's mind. Wealth creation, our houses have gone up 60-something percent, $55.3 billion in wealth created. Now, I was a homeowner in 2019, so a small sliver of that is in this pocket. Now, that's a parking tag for $33. That's not money that I plan to touch. I'm not going to mortgage my house for fun, but it does have a wealth base. So if I decided someday that there's some great investment, I can tap that, and so can a lot of other people. So there's $55 billion more here than there were before. Over half of the transactions in real estate have been cash. That's not those folks of us. That's not us working at jobs here and then going in and paying $900,000 for a house. 35,000 houses have changed hands in that time period. 24.6% of all of our residences are either STRs or snowbirds. 5 of the 16 on my street, snowbirds. We have a building boom. I live in North Palm Desert. I think they're building about 1,000 houses right now, and they've permitted around 6,000. I got to wonder who's buying them, because I'm thinking it's probably people moving in from other places. Inventory is up to 2.8 months. It had gotten down to 3 weeks at one time. And our transaction rate, the number of sales per month, is about 25% below our historical numbers. Here's a number to burn in your mind. The median household income in the Coachella Valley can afford only a $207,000 house. And on the 18th of September, when I made this slide, there was not one single family house in the Coachella Valley that was under $207,000. Not one. The median income has nothing that they can buy. That's an opportunity. Median price now is $655,500. That's up 65%. The interest rate's up 108% when you look at what it is today versus what it was. The monthly payment in 2019 for the median home would have been $2,353. Today it's $5,111, which almost equals the median family income just for the house payment of the median house. The income requirement today is $205,000 at 90% loan to value, principal, interest, taxes, insurance, and PMI. That number has gone from 94,000 to 205,000 in 4 years. Our affordability index was 60, meaning that the median family's income could buy 60% of that median house. Now it's 31%. One of these mountains looks to me like one you can aspire to climb, the other one doesn't. So there's two ways to solve this. One is to knock those prices down, and I don't think that's going to happen. The other is to lift up the people who have been left behind, and that's what we need to concentrate on.
Joe didn't mention renters, which account for about a third of Coachella Valley households, and probably much higher for working adults, as we can assume seniors sold their homes in high-cost communities and bought more affordable, smaller retirement homes here. Nearly one in two Valley residents earn below the federal poverty level. As a result, about 60% of renters are rent-burdened, meaning they have to make hard choices among paying rent, buying food, or medications. A single median wage earner has take-home pay, that is, what's left after income taxes, of about $2,500 per month. That means they can afford to spend only about $850 per month for a rental, living alone. Now, a quick scan of rental apartments on Zillow showed only two at this rate. According to the U.S. Census, the median rent in the Coachella Valley is $875, but I couldn't find much of anything below $1,200, and the real median appears to be around $1,700. Keep in mind we're talking about medians, or the midpoint, so that those that earn below the median are more or less out of luck. If we do the math for a minimum wage single worker living a Spartan lifestyle, there's only about $350 per month for housing. Now, that assumes the worker has a year-round job and isn't furloughed during the summer. So, to avoid living on the street, these workers must share housing at a density that probably doesn't comply with local building codes. Let's say we have a four-bedroom house that rents for a typical $3,500 a month. And we said minimum wage workers can only afford about $350 a month. So that means they have to find 10 people to share the cost. That's three adults per bedroom in the larger rooms and two in the smaller rooms. Then there's the parking problem. Where do you park 10 cars per address? We don't really have a public transit system robust enough to fill the gap for workers to go without cars. And with most of the service industry jobs in Palm Springs or Palm Desert and the lower cost housing in Coachella, we have long commutes for the workforce. Now, if you're an employer concerned about rising labor costs, you can blame the high cost of housing. That's the main culprit. And the pressure to keep raising the minimum wage is going to continue until workers can find abundant housing at their income level. And right now that benchmark is $350 per month. As the cost of labor rises, many employers will simply turn to automation, like self-service kiosks and robots that deliver room service meals. That could lead to higher unemployment. As of September 2023, the real unemployment rate, known as U6, was 6.7%, almost 7%. Unlike the fantasy U3 rate reported in most news media, the U6 rate includes workers who have just given up looking for jobs. At the height of the pandemic, U6 exceeded 25%, about the same as the Great Depression. Let's hear what Joe had to say about workforce participation.
People need to work. And if they don't work, they have too much time for mischief. And we do have an episode of mischief going on in the country right now. I'm not sure some people even know right from wrong. But if they worked all day and they worked hard and they went home tonight and had a dinner and slept, the mischief will stop. So our workforce participation seems to be getting a little bit better every month. I don't know if it's because people are going broke and they have to get their butt back to work, or if they're just feeling like they need to work to take care of themselves. I don't care as long as the curve steeps going up.
Of course, Joe is referring to the steep rise in retail theft, or shrinkage, as it's called in the trade. What do people do when they see things they want to buy and can never afford because they can't find good jobs? They don't own houses or cars. They have no family to support. They're not invited to participate in the community, so they really have nothing to lose by stealing the things they can't buy. And even if the police arrest them, it's a catch-and-release scenario. So there are really only two ways around this problem: vigorous law enforcement with severe penalties, or we make more seats at the employment table so everyone has a good job. Until one of those scenarios is fulfilled, we can expect retail theft to increase. And the adverse impact on business is far more severe than we think. It's not just the millions of dollars lost to theft that we as consumers end up paying for. No, now retailers lock up everyday consumables like batteries, laundry detergent, and headache medications. Once these items are locked up, they might as well not be offered for sale in the store because you can't get a clerk to help you. Joe went on to talk about the effects of inflation.
Purchasing power after inflation is down 4.7% since 2019. California, down 4.1%. This is one where the Coachella Valley is doing a little bit better. After inflation, we're only down 2%. We're doing better than everybody else. We've only lost 2%. That's actually a good thing.
Joe championed the need to steer more college-bound students into career-oriented degree programs.
We graduate 44 nurses and 3,954 psychologists. That's not going to help us out a lot. We need to get some of these people that are in degrees that don't lead to careers into degrees that lead to good-paid careers, because jobs will not come here unless we have the workforce that they need. We need to continue work with my friend Tom Kirk over at CVAG on expanding and enhancing the bandwidth They're still working on this CV Sync project. Part of that is having conduit, having fiber. And you know what? When we started fussing about 8 years ago, not even that, 6 years ago, I couldn't get but 25 megabit signal in my house. Now I can get a gig. In the places that the fiber's gone in, this has improved significantly. But we still have children in places that don't have anything. And as education moves online, you're neglecting the responsibility to offer these children the opportunity. It'd be like denying them books 20 years ago. Local investments in startups. We've been running the iHubs now for 10 years in Palm Springs. Actually, it's almost 12. And for 5 in Palm Desert. But we don't have a local investment community at all here. People invest in housing because they understand a rent check and they understand appreciation. But so far as having people in local startup investments, it's not here. The venture capital world is run by 40-somethings that have had entrepreneurial success, and we don't really have any of those. And you know the other thing that we really need is an agreement on what we want to be, not a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. What do we want to be in 50 years? And then backtrack to today, how do we get there? What is our shared vision? We really need one.
15 years ago, CVEP developed an economic blueprint. And soon after the project was announced, the then CEO resigned, telling the Desert Sun, "We were making progress, but we did not see eye to eye on planning and moving forward." One thing is certain, cooperation must overcome competition in order for us to move the needle forward. I'd like to thank Chris Hunter of Hunter Johnson and CVEP's GIS researcher David Robinson for their invaluable assistance in preparing this episode. I'm managing editor Ken Allen, reminding you to make someone's day with something nice to say.